What we're gonna do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. Welcome to my neighborhood, the Avenue. I grew up here, and each week I'll be sharing the sounds and stories of the people that made the Avenue great. Welcome back to the Avenue. This is the final episode in our two-part series exploring the Spinner's connection to Naptown. In November of 2023, the Spinners were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Music fans across the world know the Spinners for their classic hit records, including It's a Shame, Could It Be I'm Falling in Love, I'll Be Around, Rubber Band Man, and many others. But very few music fans know about the Spinners' Indianapolis connection. Spinners' co-founder, Billy Henderson, was born in Naptown in 1939, and the Spinners have maintained a close connection to Indianapolis through the years. Many Naptown musicians have toured and performed with the band, including Jerry Miller, Miles Butch Lloyd, Rodney Voorhees, Larry King, Bobby Gayhart, and Mike Simmons. On this week's show, we'll be joined again by two Indianapolis music legends who were part of the Spinners. Alan Turk Burke, who worked as a keyboardist and music director with the Spinners for over 25 years, and Rodney Stepp, who served as keyboardist and assistant music director from 1974 until 1981. On December the 2nd, Rodney Stepp will be hosting a special tribute to the Spinners as part of his Holiday on the Avenue Soul Review at the Walker Theater. Go to MadamWalkerLegacyCenter.org for more information. We'll kick things off with a classic Spinners track featuring Rodney Stepp on organ. From the 1975 album, Spinners Live, this is Then Came You. That was the Spinners with Then Came You, featuring Naptown's own Rodney Stepp on keys. On this week's show, we're exploring the Spinners' connection to Naptown with Rodney Stepp and Alan Turk Burke. They recently spoke with WFYI's Kyle Long. Let's join their conversation as Stepp discusses his time with the Spinners.
Rodney, let's jump to you and get an overview of your time with the Spinners. I believe you told me you joined in 74, is that correct?
74, February.
And you were lucky to be with the group during some of their biggest moments. And you were with the group during the time that Felipe Wynn was singing with the group, an incredible singer who died tragically young. Tell us about your time with the Spinners. Started at Madison Square Garden, right?
It started at Madison Square Garden by way of the 20 grand in Detroit. But I got in the group, I had just gotten out of the service in January. I had registered to go back to school at IU and had a little job at Indiana Bell, okay, already. I had already done that. And I got this call and from Rodney Voorhees, hey, man, we need a keyboard player. We heard you home. Would you like to come to Detroit and audition? I'm like, my eyes got big, of course. And I said, sure, you know, but hey, man, you know, following Turk is something, you know. And so My cousin Bill rode with me to Detroit. He came with me, and I came up, and Turk knows how Mr. King was. Mr. King came out with these charts. First chart he came out with, he was like, he put it in front of me, and I sat down, I looked at it for 30 seconds or so, and I started playing it. The man looked at me and gave me this glare, and he walked out of the room. And I'm like, uh-oh, I guess I blew something. He came back in because he did what he didn't believe. He didn't believe I was reading the chart. He thought that I had rehearsed the songs or whatever. He pulls out a chart, Fascinating Rhythm.
Fascinating Rhythm. I remember that arrangement.
Okay. There would have been no way I read that chart. And he walked out of the room again. And I'm going like, oh, man. And I'm the only one in there. He wouldn't let anybody in this room. He comes back in. He said, do you want the job? I'm like, yes, sir. And he said, well, you got it. You're starting next week. You know. And I'm like, wow. And I was happy. And we went on. Like I said, my first real gig was in Madison Square Garden. Then I believe the next night we were flying to L.A. And like Turk said, I was blessed. I got the best years of that group's history. I feel like I was blessed because those years between 74 and 78, they were on Grammy shows. Mm-hmm. We were doing every television show you could think of. We were playing the biggest venues. We did. We were in a couple of movies when we were kings with the Muhammad Ali and George Foreman thing. Soul Power. We're in that. We were traveling everywhere. We were doing everything, and it was another one of those situations where, again, where I feel like I was still a little bit too young to really understand the magnitude of this success. But the relationship with the group was good, but just like any other group or musicians, entertainers, there's always something there. And one of the things that I always remember that I made sure that if I ever made it, I would never, some things I'd never do, like say things like, well, you guys are just the band.
Right.
You know, there were things like that that kind of got under your skin as musicians, you know, like, okay, you're not valuing what we're bringing to the table. And there was an incident that happened. We had to kind of show them that we were just the band. And we did, not proud of this, but we did a mutiny. But we waited until we got to Europe to do it. We had been trying to get a raise for over 2 months, but they kept pushing us off, you know. And now, granted, this group is going from you know, this level, dead all, to this highest plateau. And we're like, hey, guys, you know, like, you know, take care of your band, your people, you know, we're taking care of you. And so we sitting in the hotel in England, and it was time, the limousines came and everything, and we were sat in our room as a band together. And it was hard to even get the band to do that, but we did, and we ended up getting a lot more respect. I think it hurt our relationship, though, in the long run. I'm glad I did when I did, too, you know, because things did change. And I know Turk can, you know, tell you, I know that he wasn't there during the period I was there, but he was aware of that period
still
of where they
the
were.
Still had all the contact. I mean, I remember
you know,
your mutiny over in England. I remember
yeah. He probably got the call. Talk to this dude.
Yeah.
Because you know I was the rebel rouser, okay?
That was kind of in the middle because I'd get their side of it, and then I'd get Rodney's side of it. And having lived both sides, you know, I know where all that lies.
Let's take a break from our conversation with Turk and Step and listen to a classic hit by the Spinners. From 1972, this is I'll Be Around.
Whenever you call me, I'll be there. Whenever you want me, I'll be there. Whenever you need me, I'll be there. I'll be around. I knew just what to say.
That was the Spinners with I'll Be Around. On this week's show, we're exploring the Spinners' connection to Naptown with Rodney Stepp and Ellen Turk Burke, two legendary Indianapolis musicians who were part of the Spinners' band. Let's return to our conversation with Turk and Stepp as Stepp discusses his work on the Spinners' 1975 live album.
Rodney, one thing I wanted to ask you about your time with the Spinners. You had a great opportunity in 1975 to be featured on a double live album the Spinners recorded at the Latin Casino, I think Philadelphia.
Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Okay. Yeah. You had this great opportunity to be featured on this record. It was a hit record, particularly the track Mighty Love, which features an outstanding organ solo from you. Tell me about recording that album and kind of what that means to you to have your time in the group captured in such an incredible way.
Well, the first thing I'll say, I'll give homage to my brother here, the Turk, because when I got a chance to do that organ solo, I said, what would Turk do? And
you did very well in your
own. Well, thank you. But that was what put my name in the industry and kind of put me out there. I got to do a lot of sessions with a lot of people, you know, a lot of things behind the scenes nobody would ever know about, with Eddie Holland in L.A., with, you know, various other
producers. You told me Fred Wesley. You played a session
with. Fred Wesley. I did a session with him in Los Angeles. Yes. There were several groups that I've had a chance to you know, do some things with. But reflecting on that, that was probably one of the best moments of my life, knowing that this album's really going to come out, that the world's going to hear it, and because of that, whether they know it or not, I'm on every track of that album. You know, I didn't write the music or that, this and that, but I'm on every track. So I could toot my horn and try to, you know, raise the bar on myself a little bit, right? It worked because I started getting different offers, you know, from different groups, different this and that. And I have to say that Felipe Wynn was the first one that encouraged me to do that. I wasn't playing an organ solo. I was just doing a little chopping and blocking and stuff, you know. And then one night, Felipe said, "Hey, man, I want you to hit me." I said, "Okay, what you want me to do?" He said, "You know, just do some of that little cute stuff that you be doing in rehearsals. Because in rehearsals, I'd be cutting up, making Mr. King look at me like, boy, you know." But I was kind of like his favorite son, too, in that rhythm section back then with him. And so Felipe encouraged me, and we started doing it. And the guys liked it. The audience liked it. Everybody seemed to start gravitating to it. So by the time we got the live album, I said, "I'm going to act a fool." On this little three-chord little chick, I said, "I'm going to figure out every kind of lick I can do in this one little three-bar little transition here. And that's what we did. And we had a lot of fun with it. And it was a mainstay, and it still is today. And for those of you who come to the Walker on December the 2nd, I'm going to give you a piece of that.
I'm going to ask you about that show. Yeah.
From 1975, this is The Spinners with Mighty Love, featuring Rodney Stepp on organ.
Oh, that's the way love goes. That's the way love goes. And there's a time, it seems like you'll never find someone willing to love you. Keep on looking, this you'll soon discover.
Don't touch that dial. Echoes of Indiana Avenue will return with more words and music from Turk Burke and Rodney Stepp after this short break.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue.
This is the final episode in our two-part series exploring the Spinners' connection to Naptown, with Rodney Stepp and Alan Turk Burke. In 1995, Stepp and Turk recorded an album of original music with the Spinners at Stepp's Indianapolis recording studio. Unfortunately, due to management complications, the recordings were never released. Here's an excerpt from the session featuring the Avenue jazz legend Jimmy Coe on sax.
What's up, baby? It's me. Yeah, I know it's late. 12:45 in the morning. But I can't sleep, and all I can think about is all the foolish things I've done.
In 1995, you recorded an album's worth of tracks with the Spinners here in Indianapolis at your studio, Rodney Brooks mm-hmm. Street, right?
Right.
These were songs that were written by you, or were they co-written between you and Turk?
They were co-written between me, Turk, Mike, Eric Fleming, James Walker Jr. I think, though, we were the five principals.
Yeah. I know you told me Jimmy Coe, the legendary Indiana Avenue sax player, performed on the session.
Yes, he did. He performed on a song called Just to Get Back to You.
Yeah.
And we did two versions of that song because that was another thing. From us having experience, the two of us, having the experience we had with that group, we really knew them. We knew their voices. We knew their ranges. We knew their capabilities, their good things, their flaws, whatever. But we had some fun. And hopefully in my lifetime, yes, just like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I would like to see this music out. I think our fans are deserving of it. And, you know, again, I it's just my opinion, but they're in my vault.
Yeah, you know.
Every good man deserves a woman, and every good woman needs a man. You know it makes sense for us to be together if we can.
That was an excerpt of You and I Can Make It Happen from the Spinners' unreleased 1995 session in Naptown. That song was written by Bill Simmons of Midnight Star. Let's return to our conversation with Stepp and Turk as Stepp recalls performing with the Spinners in Zaire, Africa.
I want to give each of you a chance to talk about favorite memories you have with the group. Rodney, as you mentioned, you played, I think you were with the group on Soul Train, the Grammys. You traveled to Zaire, Africa, as part of the entertainment for the Rumble in the Jungle fight with Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. You were with the group during some exciting times. Favorite memories you have of being with the Spinners?
My favorite memories, first of all, my favorite country was Japan. Mm. The reason why for Japan, I could not believe we're in Tokyo and Osaka, right? And when we would hit the songs, hear all of these people in Japan singing our songs in English louder than we're singing it. I mean, I'm like, wow, these people really know the music, you know? And then Japan was so healthy and so clean and everything else. It was just spectacular, my experience there. The second one was the Rumble in the Jungle. Being a part of that history with Muhammad, me having a chance to mess with him when, you know, my famous picture might not be famous to anybody else, but with me, Muhammad, and Etta James,
yeah.
That was special.
Yeah.
And I credit Joni Sledge, rest in peace, for Joni was the one that took that picture. I wasn't even thinking about a photograph, you know. And, I mean, we had them little Kodak Instamatic cameras and stuff back then. You know, we didn't have cell phones. And, you know, from there, I mean, the Grammy Awards. In 1975 and 76, we actually played the Grammy Awards because they had been nominated, but they never won that Grammy. That was special because everybody just gravitated to us. Stevie Wonder, everybody. I mean, I got to meet the who's who, you know. Being on those big stages like that, and then you think about concerts like the Greek Theater with Minnie Riperton and, you know, people like that who have gone on. Our tours with Chaka Khan and Rufus, our tours with P-Funk and George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic. We had some heavyweight tours, and the Spinners was that act. They weren't necessarily the best, but they were a hard act to follow.
A lot of energy on stage.
You did not want to follow the Spinners, especially after a Felipe win.
Recorded live in Zaire in 1974, this is The Spinners with One of a Kind Love Affair, featuring Rodney Stepp on keys. That was The Spinners with One of a Kind Love Affair, featuring Rodney Stepp on keys. On this week's show, we're exploring the Spinners' connection to Naptown with Rodney Stepp and Alan Turk Burke. Let's return to our conversation as Turk shares his memories of performing with the Spinners.
You got to be with the group during many different iterations of the band, from 1966 over in Martindale at the skating rink to their rise into the popular consciousness. You were with them when they were really exploding into popularity. What memories stick out to you during your time with the group?
Well, one thing I would like to say, and after hearing Rodney, he was with them during their peak, and I had the chance... You know, as he spoke about working with Felipe Wynn, so I had the fortune to work with just about all of their lead singers other than who they have now. But I worked with Chico back in the 60s.
Yep.
I worked with G.C. Cameron, who
sang
It's a Shame.
Yeah.
I worked with Felipe. I worked with John Edwards. And I want to bring up the point that yeah, I'd say they had their rise and their height with Felipe, and I enjoyed working with Felipe too, but I do not want to sell John Edwards short.
No, no.
Because John Edwards...
He brought it.
Yeah.
He brought it. He carried a lot of things musically on stage. John had an excellent voice, and he could sing a lot of different types of music. And I just really wanted to bring that out, that I enjoyed working with all of the lead singers, but I really enjoyed working with John, too. And I worked a lot with Felipe. So
it's amazing. Yeah. Any favorite memories, too?
Yes.
Yes, I want to make sure we got to that.
I guess my favorite one was the Atlantic Records 40th anniversary, which was at Madison Square Garden. Mm. They had everyone that had ever been on Atlantic Records. And if you think of their catalog, reaching into so many different areas of music. And these are people that I had come up listening to and really admiring, although I will have to say Aretha wasn't there because she didn't fly. You know, she would not fly to the gig. And, of course, Aretha was one of the biggest artists that they had on the label. And my wife Melanie and I remember we even did the red carpet thing with that. That was a highlight for us. And the other one we did, the 35th year anniversary of American Bandstand, that tour. That was in, I think, 89. And, you know, we had the Guess Who, the Drifters, and actually I was the musical director for the Drifters for that tour.
Wow.
Along with the Spinners. And that was a big highlight. The other thing I would say, when we went to South Africa, the Spinners were the first group booked by a black promoter after apartheid.
Wow.
So we were booked over there for a series of concerts. We do all our hits, and it was a good reception, but it wasn't an outstanding reception. I remember the promoter said, "That was very nice. Do you do any other songs?" So the songs that weren't in that first show, I put in the second show. After the show, very nice. You know, we get good reception, but the promoter being polite, asking, "Did we do any other songs?" We had done one show, and we were at one of the soccer stadiums, and those huge, and it was a ton of people there. And they started rioting after our show. We had to have protection leaving, and the promoter said, "Well, we're getting ready to go to Johannesburg. Do you do any other songs?" And trying to be correct. So... And, you know, our biggest hits were getting received well, but obviously they had something else on their mind. What I found out during apartheid, when everything was so restricted, there was one song that was the people would listen to in private at night. It was kind of like We Shall Overcome over there to them. It was just... Throwing a Good Love Away.
Oh, wow.
And they wanted to hear that song. And we never did the song. We didn't even know the song, you know. So the promoter said, "We have to get this for Johannesburg." We're on the jet flying to Johannesburg. Everybody has on headphones. We're throwing a good love away.
Don't know it now.
Yeah.
I'm going to know it someday. Yep.
We did that song, and the place went wild. And Zulus were just going, walking, you know, they were all marching and dancing around the track, you know, of the soccer stadium. And it was just like a whole new thing just opened up because we were doing Throwing Your Good Love Away. They loved it. We did it again as an encore.
But soon the day will come, then you'll learn the love that you waste. You're gonna need it again and again.
again and again. Well, baby, you don't know it now. You're gonna know it someday. You're throwing a good love away. You don't know it now. You're gonna know it someday.
On December the 2nd, Rodney Stepp will be hosting a special tribute to the Spinners as part of his Holiday on the Avenue Soul Review at the Walker Theater. Let's return to our conversation with Stepp and Turk as Stepp discusses this unique concert.
Saturday, December 2nd, at the Walker Theater, you're going to be bringing back your Holiday on the Avenue show. It's going to be a holiday spectacular, as always, but you're also, I understand, doing a tribute to the Spinners. Tell me about this show and what you have planned.
Well, the vision, my vision 3 years ago after surviving COVID and coming back, one of the things that came into my head was giving back to the community. And then my humble beginnings, you know, like if you remember when we first started this conversation, Turk mentioned the fact about the Walker, and for us, that was the coup de grace. That was like Taj Mahal, you know, Radio City Music Hall for us, you know, in here in Indy. And I was 13 years old the first time I got to play at the Walker, and it was a Indianapolis Recorder Christmas show. And the Recorder, year after year, would always do this holiday Christmas show, and it didn't start till midnight. If you remember, it was always midnight, which was crazy. But we had that opportunity, and I started having flashbacks. And I said, what could I do to bring back the music to the Avenue? And then at the same time, you know, promote some groups and other things. And that's what I came up with. And so I got with the Christian Strickland and Tanasha and some other people at the Walker. And so we came up with Holiday on the Avenue Soul Review. And this is our third year. This year it'll be the Downstroke Band, which will be bringing you funk. We also have Men in the Fire, which will be bringing you a little gospel and Christmas cheer. And then we have a comedy group, Act of Foo, and improv crew, and they are great. They keep the crowd going while we're doing the band interchanges and the stage changes. And then my group, I'm coming out with, you know, not only my smooth jazz from the albums, but I am doing a tribute to the Spinners with some very phenomenal guys, Barry Dale on lead vocals, Steve Hedrick, and Tony Bingham. Also, Tony's also for Men in the Fire. And then a young lady named Sharon Rimmer. The four of them will be doing songs of Tom Bell and Linda Creed and tribute to the Spinners. And this is my kind of give back, and I think it's so appropriate. The guys deserve it. Our fans deserve it. The people deserve it. And every time I'm playing somewhere, I don't care if it's Jazz Kitchen or if it's somebody's backyard, everybody always wants to hear Mighty Love, and we never play it, you know, because it's just not, you know, nothing for us to really play. I'm doing Mighty Love. I'm going to tell you now, I'm doing Mighty Love. Right. I'm doing the whole organ solo and the whole nine yards, if I can remember it. No. And we're going to have a good time, though. And December the 2nd, there's only one show. We're going to start at 7 o'clock this year. We decided to move it an hour earlier to give people time to be home, you know, before too late. We're going to give you a great show, though. And Downstroke, oh, you know they bring it. And I'm looking very forward to this show. And so hopefully we can continue this year after year.
Advance tickets are available online and at the Walker box office. Where can people go to purchase them online?
Walker box office on Wednesday through Friday from noon to 5. And they can just go online. They can go to www.MadamWalkerLegacyCenter.com, and they can get them there, or they can look on our social media, and we have an event link straight to Ticketmasters. for tickets. But I encourage people to go and support The Walker and get them at the box office. I will say this, the fees are a little cheaper by going, the add-on ticket fees, they're a little cheaper too by going to The Walker box office. So, but we need to support our city, our community, and things that we're doing because, hey, man, I don't know how much time I've got left around here. So I'm planning on doing some things and trying to give back. That's all we're trying to do.
Turk and Rodney, I appreciate you both for being here. Any final thoughts you want to share on your time with the Spinners or any other thoughts you want to share?
Actually, one thing I'd like to say is just, I admire what Rodney has done, not only in his history, but what he continues to do. And reaching out, bringing so much of our old school, exposing the younger people to that. So just wanted to let you know that I'm very impressed with all that you continue to do. And even in reference back to his Mighty Love solo. So I have a reputation as an organist. So,
organist. Well, he is a great organist.
How Rodney would say, yeah, they talk about Turk, I would hear about Rodney and it would be people knew that was with the Spinners. Oh man, I love the solo, man, on Mighty Love that you did. Well, we're good at not really stepping on each other because we respect each other. No, that was Rodney Stepp doing that solo that was on fire on the Hammond organ that you hear. And then probably point some of his other recordings that he's done out to them. I think it's really something how Rodney and I, actually we don't really get to hang out much together anymore.
Which is a shame.
Yeah,
it's
a shame. But, we're always really glad to get together. And it was really nice to be able to talk way back into the beginning of what we had done that got us close together.
Final thoughts on the Spinners?
Final thoughts on the Spinners is just it was really a great ride. It was really
truly.
I can't take anything away from anything. There were some, like with anything, relationships. There were good moments. There were good times, bad times. But for the most part, they were great times.
Rodney and Turk, I'm a huge fan of both of you. Thank you so much for taking time to be here today and share your memories and experiences with the Spinners, a legendary, timeless group. Thank you so much.
We're a huge fan of yours,
yes,
too, man.
Appreciate
your
that.
History
you.
And your music history is phenomenal. I know Turk was probably sitting up here going like, dang, he know about that.
Yeah.
This guy is phenomenal. And we love following all your shows, man. You and Herman
you.
And everybody else. So keep doing what you're doing, too.
Appreciate that.
All
Thank
right.
You.
We'll end this tribute to the Spinners with a 1976 live performance featuring Rodney Stepp on keys. This is Rubber Band Man.
How much of this stuff do we think we can stand? So much rhythm, grace, debonair from one man. Oh, no. And then he had it there to wiggle his left
hand.
He got a feeling in his head, y'all. How does he do it, y'all?
That's all the time we have for this week. Thanks for tuning in for the final episode in our two-part series exploring the Spinners' connection to Naptown. And thanks to our guests, Rodney Stepp and Alan Turk Berg. You can meet me here on the Avenue again next week. Same time, same place. And you can find the Echoes of Indiana Avenue podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcast. Echoes of Indiana Avenue is written and produced by Kyle Long and hosted and co-produced by me, Herman Butch Slaughter.
Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do. Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do. Do. If you will stop and listen, I will tell you a thing or two.